And our first presenter is Dr. Pamela Orr. Pamela Orr is an infectious disease physician from Manitoba who has spent many years, I know, working with Aboriginal communities, including Northern Canada. I know her because she's been a member of the National Advisory Committee on Immunization for a number of years and was the lead for the drafting of the influenza statement in that role. She's a scientific editor of the International Journal of Circumpolar Health, and she's the vice chair of the International Association of Circumpolar Health Publishers, so she's well qualified to give our presentation on the epidemiology of vaccine-preventable diseases in First Nations.
Thank you very much, Monica. It's a real honor to be asked to come and speak, and I also wanted to thank the First Nations of this land west of the Rockies for welcoming me to their homeland. To speak on the epidemiology of vaccine-preventable illness in First Nations is somewhat difficult and then also easy. It's difficult because there's actually very little in the way of data in this regard. And therefore it's easy because I thought that frees me to say whatever I want. So I'm going to take advantage and give you some of my thoughts. And my handout, I guess you don't have the handouts in the package, but they'll be available on a website, so that's great. So my handouts, I don't want you to really, or my slides, try and read them as I zip along, but maybe just know that they'll be available and they're to remind me about what I want to say, and you can look at them later, and they have some references at the end. But maybe to focus on some of the messages that I want to put forward. And also I would say that you don't necessarily even have to agree with some of the positions. When we look for the data, I of course, am in contact with First Nations Inuit Health, and which I call FNI or FNIB, and with PHAC and with the provinces, departments of health, and the territories. And when you ask for data, the truth you get all sorts of responses, which are amusing in themselves. But the bottom line is, some regions do have data, but they don't either publish them or make them available, or sometimes they don't even analyze them because of the sort of sensitivity about control of the data, First Nations or Inuit versus non-First Nations. So it's about control and power and naming and victimization and et cetera. I would just say about that, that's too bad. Many people are working on that to try and correct that and to decide about the control issues. In other parts of the world, like the Sami people, the Laplanders, came over here for a meeting with us, and they're begging for identification in their homelands of Norway, Sweden, and Finland. They're begging to have numbers to identify them so they can get their data, so they can go to the governments and say, hey, we've got higher levels of this and that and lower levels of these diseases, and we want this kind of health system and resources, not that kind of system. There are individual researchers doing and communities doing wonderful work, and but the First Nations communities are quite heterogeneous. You can't say that the level of HPV is high in Aboriginal populations, because there's over 630 First Nations reserves in Canada. There's First Nations communities outside of the reserves. And they're different. The conditions in Nova Scotia, Mi'kmaq, are different from the conditions of the Gwich'in in the Northern Territories, and they're different from the Cree and the Salish nations. So we have individual studies. I didn't therefore want to just sort of show you a whole lot of slides about here and there. I wanted to try and bring some principles together. There are some monographs, like First Nations Inuit Health puts out this statistical profile on the health of First Nations. It's available on the web, and they're putting out a new one. But, the problem is they choose certain diseases that they have reports on, and then they leave all sorts of other conditions completely out because they don't have the data on them. Then there is a neat study, Indigenous Children's Health Report by Janet Smiley, who's a Métis researcher in now in Toronto. And she basically goes through all the diseases in childhood, and then she says there's no national data available, time after time. So, and I mean, what's liberating about this is she actually sort of names it, and it's not because it's not out there. It's because of issues about who controls it and who collects it. So my point is we need epidemiologic data. The most First Nations do want it, I believe. And we need if we're talking about vaccine-preventable diseases, we need a vaccine trial network. This isn't in Aboriginals. You can't just say, oh, well, we approved it in trials in, Manitoba or Ontario, so here you are in WT or Vancouver coastal region, go take it and use it in your populations. We know that, I always show the slide and people get bored, but if someone says to you something about a disease in First Nations populations or any other population, like HPV vaccine, the strains are HPV strains in Aboriginals are this, and it's this, these are the virulence factors. In your mind, you should always say, oh, stop, wait a minute. What about the host? What's different in these people? Genetics, but also behavior, age structure, et cetera. And what's different about the environment? The environment doesn't just mean the physical environment, the houses and the poverty levels or non-poverty levels, but also the internal environment. So the sort of emotional, psychological makeup of the person in the community.